Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And if things look a little different to you today, that's because they should. Thanks to Patrice's hard work, we have fully transitioned from our old live stream and live chat system to Owncast. So we have a whole new interface here. So the way this works now is when you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com to watch a show, you'll see the show, but then you're also going to see the live chat just right there in a column, just part of the live stream. So instead of having to use an IRC client, now you can just go to one link and everything is there. And just like before, the chat transcript is saved. So you're not going to even miss out on that. The reason we did this is because we needed something that was more modern, like technologically modern, faster, more reliable, and that especially applies to the live chat, because IRC is getting very long in the tooth, as they say, and there were server issues, and it was time to modernize. So here we are, and like I said, thanks to Patrice's efforts, this transition went super smooth. We have not had a single problem with this at all. So we made the transition, and here we are. We got modern. We have a first timer, I think. Dave, have you been on the Big Show? Oh, you have. It's been a while. Oh, you're right.
Yep. Okay. First time today.
First time today, right. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So glad to be here. And it's just kind of a impromptu pop in, and I said, "Oh, let's do a show," because I took some time off today. So
awesome. Well, I'm glad you're here. Yeah, it's great. Okay, and Ben, you haven't been able to join us for a while. It's really nice to see you. How are you?
I am fantastic and glad to be back now that my prior commitment is no longer a commitment.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there will be a new commitment soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, regardless, it's from a totally selfish standpoint, I'm glad you are here.
Yep. So am I. And speaking of here, I would like to welcome our buddy Tom, who may not be here in person, but he's here in the chat.
Oh, excellent. See, I need to move my windows around so that I can see all the chat all the time.
Yeah. I would say why he's not here, but we have things called HIPAA laws in the U.S.
you are not bound by those.
Hint, hint.
Oh, really?
Yes, you are not a medical service provider.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, you can say anything you want. I will remind you, though, that free speech doesn't mean free from repercussions.
Oh!
Yeah.
You mean we can't say that Tom finally went nuts and is on a 5150 hold, which he's not. Had you going?
I mean, you could say that. I mean, we could also say that Tom decided that he wanted to have a body transplant. And
yes, this is
the
true.
Next time we see him, he will be 21 years old.
Yes. Yep. And still know everything about chips. And I'm not talking about Doritos. But though at 21, he'll probably learn all about those too.
Probably. Yep. This is awesome,
Yeah,
Ian, listening to you
Ian's
talk.
underwater.
Because, yeah, it sounds like you're completely underwater. So, anyhow, hopefully it's better now.
He
Maybe.
will be into that. Should be better now because I'm now on
There
my
we
boom
go.
mic rather than on the ever reliable Yeti. Let's switch back.
And your audio's gone.
On cue, Yeti.
That was
Yeti, you utter
perfect.
bastard. Yes, now that case, my Yeti is about to sail merrily through the window and out the other side somewhere, never to be seen again. When I can find out what I did with my snowball now.
Well, at least I don't have to ask how you're doing because you have just demonstrated how you were doing.
Doing fine apart from my usual grumpy manner.
Well, it's great to have your grumpiness here. All right. So, we know we have as they say, a wee bit of a time crunch, because of scheduling today. So we should just hop right into it. And with that, who has the first news story for today?
I will as soon as it lets me post it here.
I'm betting that's you, Ben, that will have the first story.
Okay. I'm gonna just
I
post
follow.
it in our private chat here because it's not letting me post it to in the new live chat.
All right. Well, then how about if I copy your link and see if I can paste it for you?
I put mine in the chat too.
Oh, Q, it's on Yahoo.
Yahoo News.
Yahoo!
Oh, that's cute. I've not seen Yahoo for years.
Yeah.
It's never gone away. It just went to
Well,
oblivion.
it's not letting me
all
post your link as well. Oh, I think I see what the problem is. I bet if I pull the stub off, which is like 9 miles long, it'll work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was your stub.
Cool.
Oh,
Not that we're judging.
the referral line thing at the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah, mine worked.
Yes.
Yeah, mine worked too.
Okay, cool. So, as usual, there's a difference in it's going fine between normal people and Boeing. Because if we've seen anything from Boeing the last few years, it's not going fine.
No.
And where, and literally, Boeing has now taken it's going fine out of this world.
Quite
So,
literally.
yes, Boeing has been testing their Apollo clone called the Boeing Starliner. Right now, they have two formal naval astronauts up there testing it. This was supposed to be a 1 week trip
Whoops.
that returned on June 14th. Oh wait, let me check the
Wait,
calendar
there.
here. It's June 27th. And as of right now, they don't know when they're going to be going home.
Ground
Why?
control to Major Tom.
Because
Ground
apparently
control to Major Tom.
the same guy who designed the door on the 737 Max
Yeah.
designed the helium system on the Starliner.
Right. For those of you that don't know, the helium system is used for navigational thrusters.
Yeah.
So
Oh, so they can't point
they're
it in the right
linking.
direction to come back again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh
Yeah,
dear, that's a bit bad.
the
That's
thrusters
good.
are not fully operational.
It's kind of a problem.
And it also says other glitches aboard the capsule.
Oh no, the door fell off.
Yeah,
Put
the
Boeing and
whole thing
glitch in
of
one sentence.
the whole thing line about Apollo in Apollo 13 was it the door? Is not so funny anymore. So they may try to get the astronauts back for the 4th of July and try to make re-entry on July 2nd. But right now they actually have to get their stuff together.
You
And
know,
should we actually be able to get this in a position for re-entry instead of doing what we have done, which is put it down in the middle of the ocean and then have the Navy come and pick it up? Boeing is going to be doing this Soviet style.
I'm going to crash down here in a field somewhere then.
Yes. Yep. It will have multiple airbags on it in a parachute, and it will crash down somewhere in the mo well, hopefully land somewhere, not crash down in the middle of the Arizona desert. No, New Mexico desert, White Sands. So why I've given my fair amount of crap to SpaceX and their inability to land. SpaceX problems have not involved astronauts.
So far, that's true.
Yeah. And if this thing literally cannot land, that's going to be a problem because they might have to get either a Dragon or Soyuz capsule to bring these stranded astronauts back home.
You know, when they went ahead and said, "We are doing the launch," I knew it was a mistake. I am not a rocket scientist, and even I knew they should not launch the craft.
Yeah.
And they got it up there. And here's my follow-up prediction: they will not be sending that craft back to Earth with humans in it.
No.
And yeah, and they're going to have to find another launch vehicle to get up there to bring these astronauts back.
Yeah, which means what it was supposed to be a 1 week trip is probably going to co take ha cost these guys a couple months of their life.
Yeah.
I think that's a very safe bet.
I wonder if they could just nudge it enough to get it in the right general direction. So it's like, just fire it now and it will go down. You know,
Well, I
you'll get to
mean,
the right place.
you can get it down into the atmosphere. The problem is it would probably burn up.
Oh, okay. Because
Yeah,
it's not enough.
it's got to be the exact
The
right
angle, the right
re-entry
angle.
angle.
Yeah, of course.
And those thrusters are used during re-entry. To keep the craft on track and at the right angle as it's dropping through the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So if they're not working, what's the right term? If their performance isn't nominal, then it is not safe to put people in that spacecraft and send it back to Earth.
Yeah. Which after this, the CEO of Boeing is probably going to be doing his second job, which is explaining everything to Congress.
Before asking if you'd like fries with that in the local McDonald's.
Yes.
Yeah, this is not a good look for Boeing.
No.
Hasn't been a good
And
look for Boeing, period, lately.
yeah.
Right?
No, not had. I do not want to fly anything made by Boeing anymore.
Yeah. The crew from the Starliner. I'm assuming they have the authority to say this is not a safe spacecraft, even if ground control tells them, yeah, just get in, it'll be fine.
Let me put it this way. Right now, they're pretty much up on the ISS as guests of NASA. If Boeing tells them to come down with the spacecraft the way it is. They're probably going to get a call from Houston saying they have a problem.
I think that's a safe bet. Yep. So, yeah, looks like Boeing isn't a space worthy craft company.
Or airworthy.
You know, I did not make a joke before the launch that I wanted to, which is, I wonder if the door will stay on. And based on the way this is all playing out, I'm really glad I didn't do that joke. And while I shared what the joke was, I'm not going to make the joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since we know we have some time constraints, let's just keep it going. And next story, this is from Dave.
And I love this story.
Yeah. I think this is a start from what we've been talking about for a while here about AI-generated humans and doing it to replace them, because that was the big holdup with the Hollywood writer strike and the actor strike, is how are we going to get compensated? How am I have to allow me to be have an AI likeness? Well, AI has an AI generated Al Michaels. If anybody is not familiar with Al Michaels, is he's been a sports announcer since 1971. He's covered all kinds of major sports events in the United States, and he's not going to be there. They're going to have an AI generated Al Michaels to provide daily recaps during the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris. NBC announced these plans. And he's famous. He's a famous sports commentator, and I guess he's going to narrate all these daily streaming video recaps on the Olympics in Paris, which is coming up end of July here. The use of high profile using the use of folks with voice cloning really worries. It's worrying critics, but surprisingly not. And the technology may muscle out some upcoming sports commentators by keeping old personas around forever. You know, because yeah, Michael's just 79 years old, so he's been at this for quite a long time. So, he's known for during the 1980 Olympics, when he says, do you believe in miracles? It was when the U.S. hockey team won that year. And he did voice his skepticism on this originally on this project and when he was interviewed. And then after hearing the voice, he says, he described the experience as an astonishing and a little bit frightening. After he said the AI recreation was almost 2% off perfect in mimicking his style.
And then 2%. He cashed the check.
But he cashed the check. They have to pay him. That's right. So this is rather interesting to see where this goes. And it's a good start. And then the article goes in. It's talking about, is there a diminishing role for humans in the future? You know, again, it's no secret that AI is the hype right now. Everybody's talking about it. ChatGPT and all that stuff. In the States, I was listening to Howard Stern yesterday, and he had one of his folks were getting on ChatGPT because they just released the ChatGPT client for the Mac. And it's been on iPhone, but it has the voice control too. So he starts asking questions about his staff and everybody and asking ChatGPT about certain people on the staff of the Howard Stern show. And it knew it spot on. It was just absolutely frightening. You know, kind of going along with that, with this is just, I mean, AI is, people have to start wondering, where is this going to go? it's going in a very bizarre and strange direction, I must say.
And in 2024, Skynet became aware.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It ended up, the world that ended up ending because we compared AI Michaels to Tony Romo.
And they have
your friend has arrived.
And they have no idea who you're talking about, Tony Romo.
No, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea who he's all about.
That's why I said that.
But for those who get the joke, I'm sure it's fantastic. Okay, so one of the problems I see with using AI in a situation like this is that while you can mimic the style and the appearance of a multi-decade sports commentator. You can't mimic their knowledge and
Exactly.
experience.
Yeah.
So you can make it sound like the person, but it's not the commentary that they would have provided.
It's
So
fine if he's going to be reading out the scores and a recap of what happened that Fred won a gold medal in the javelin or whatever, which is fine. But if he's got to put commentary around it about the various stars and the other competitors and things, and he can probably do some of it, but I'm not convinced it will be as knowledgeable as you say, as the genuine thing. It's a different thing from in another sort of example of this AI voice thing is James Earl Jones. Too old, now getting too old. They've digitized him so he can continue to provide the voice of Darth Vader. That is, well, they'll provide a script for it to read out in James Earl Jones's voice, and that in some ways is fine and acceptable, I think, because it seems to be that James and his family that are still going to be recompensed for it, but. This is a little bit different because there's a level of using the I bit of here, the intelligence part that I'm not convinced is entirely as connected or is slightly worrying how well that'll work because the thing that's good about a sport, a good sports announcer, is their knowledge of the sport. They're also they're ad-libbing and something they'll think of on the spot that. Your
Right.
little
AI's
digital
not going to do
announcer is
that.
just not gonna. Your little digital announcer's not gonna do that, is it? You're not gonna suddenly have a blinding moment of genius and say something either stupendously stupid or stupendously funny that people remember. We all will remember those events from various sports where there's been that moment. So AI is not going to give you that.
Yes,
That's another dulling. That's another dulling of the world, in my view.
I'm just waiting for robo announcer to announce that someone in the long jump has scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Even I
Oh,
get that joke.
yeah. Well, they were saying here about the, how it's gonna work. It's just they're using, of course, large language models, and then they're analyzing subtitles and metadata from NBC's Olympics video coverage, and they'll summarize events and writing custom output to imitate Michael's style, and then the text is then fed into a unspecified. Voice AI model trained on Michael's previous NBC appearances, reporting, replicating his unique pronunciations and intonations. Yeah, so it's okay. Yeah, they can bring that all that into it, but is that like you guys just said? It's not gonna like you can't have a spontaneous reaction to something when it's just all it's doing is just recapping basically everything that was just that happened that day. With all of the data it'll scan from the coverage of the Olympics that day, so okay, great. Anybody could do that, honestly. You could do it the old
Even
way.
I could do that.
Yeah. Even the old in the old day, I guess old days where you just get copy of whatever was out there and you just read it.
We're dealing right now with a problem where businesses are figuring out how to use AI and generative tools, and I think in many cases they're being applied in the wrong places. And this to me is an example of that because you're not actually getting the value of this veteran sportscaster. You're getting regurgitated information with something that parrots his style. And that's not the same thing at all. And I've been seeing the same thing happen in other places where the humans are being replaced, and I think incorrectly, because it's the humans that are bringing the element that makes the content useful. And I've even had several companies that I've worked with over the years, where someone above the pay grade that brings me in as a freelancer to write for them decides we can do it all with AI and LLM. And so they get rid of all the freelancers, and then it's just content that doesn't live up to the standard that they want. And so, yeah. So, like, people like me are out hunting for new clients because so many of the companies we were working with are thinking, let AI do it and it's better. And in fact, it's
And it's
not. But
not.
those places where it is good, like dealing with security for your cloud servers and software, the AI systems are much more efficient at spotting the security threats and intrusions when they actually happen, and addressing those incidents that humans wouldn't be able to put together in a reasonable amount of time.
I mean, the other really good use of AI that, well, I've talked about previously on the show has been the thing where you see medical scanning, medical analysis, where you've got this huge stack of data that you need to crunch, and then particularly sort of things like scans, cancer scans, and things. Well, I think were the ones for, I can't remember what output, what device they were output from, but instead of a human sitting there and eyeballing every one, the machine go they feed them to the machine. The machine goes through, and because it has an own set of parameters it's working to, produces a useful set of data that a human then vets, and that's brilliant use of time and time and stuff. Much better. I'm much with that. I'm not with, and we as the company I work for are starting to use AI in similar kind of ways to you've talking about with security industry. It's starting to become more of a thing that we'll, as time goes on, make more use of. Where it's
And
where it makes
it's super
sense.
useful in pharmaceutical research as well. Okay, we're going to keep it moving since we know we have a time crunch today. So Ian, that brings us to your story, and apparently you are going to become a real estate salesperson.
Two links are in there. One because it's they both sort of sit together. This week marks the point where the probe that China launched up to the moon has come back, and they've got data and stuff from the dark side of the moon. How cool is that from a start, from a first viewpoint? And the second thing is, how interesting is that now? China is now officially the third nation to manage to get a device up to the moon to be able to gather samples and get it back again. That's cool all in itself. But that does carry into the next article, which is the interesting one about who owns the moon. Is there now going to be a bit more of a debate? I mean, from years ago, that an agreement was reached with all nations saying, yes, it's everyone's, we will all make use and look at this thing in interest, and we won't put weapons on there, and it will be very much one of exactly. Well, we all know there's Nazis living on the back of it, don't we? But you
We've
know,
all
it's
seen the movie.
we've all seen the movie. We know Nazis live on the back of the moon. So, but it's iron sky, if you want to know what the hell I'm talking about. It's ridiculously stupid, but a lot of fun. And there's just that whole thing of how will that dynamic change? Now we've got a third, now it's got a third power starting to mess around up there.
Putting something on the moon is ridiculously complicated. And doing it successfully and then returning back from landing on the moon, I mean, absolutely amazing, absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and it still amazes me the people who originally did it with room-sized machines and pens and paper and abacus, and those computers had less power than your average 99-cent store calculator.
Yes, there is something to look back at that and go, we managed that with wind-up watches on their wrists, and as you say, room-sized computers to do the calculations, and some very, very clever folk doing
Yes, and other.
calculations longhand in
Yes, so
go ahead.
So Boeing needs those guys back.
Yes,
Right.
we need that. We need that. We need those practical people back. Yes.
Yep. And the whole thing with who owns the moon, I expect this is going to become very contentious at some point, even though we have the decades-old agreement that
We do.
the moon is not owned by anyone. Practically speaking, I don't see how we're going to be able, just as a whole planet, to be able to regulate what's going on the moon without different government entities or a new government entity taking control over what's happening there.
Moonbase Alpha.
Moonbase Alpha.
Exactly that, Moonbase Alpha. I mean, interestingly though, we've got I mean, in that story, we've got the next two moon sort of events are going to be Artemis 2026. They're hoping to land there. And the Chinese by 2030 are hoping to get a moon, hoping to start planning for a moon base. Which again is all kinds of cool, as well as whoa. Sort of thing after years, after what seemed like years of inactivity, and as much as I mean, 50 over 50 years almost, when you think about it, the last sort of was the 70s when the last sort of active things on the moon happened. I mean, just before, I mean, and now again, nearly 50 years later, we're finally starting to realize this dream once more that we can leave this small part of Earth for another small part of Earth for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, just to think about it, the last time people were on the moon, we hit, cars had eight tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my
Oh,
God.
wow.
Yeah, you're right.
That's some
Yes.
seriously old tech. Yeah, unlike TSO Host, which
Yeah.
is definitely
Seriously, awesome tech.
new tech and awesome tech. And what makes them incredibly awesome? Well, they make it easy to buy domain names. They make web hosting easy. They offer good pricing and great customer support. And what they're doing is taking all that stuff that they do so well, and they're saying, "Hey, British Tech Network, we love what you're doing. So here, we want to give you the bandwidth so that you can live stream shows every single week. We want to give you the hosting space. So there's a place for the British Tech Network website to live. And we want to give you server space so that all the show recordings from past episodes have a place to live." And they just bundled it up and said, "Here you go." And it's absolutely fantastic, because the resources it takes to do everything that we're doing would go beyond what we would be able to bring together without TSO Host being here and being part of what we're doing. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. Everyone, please go out on your favorite social media and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. It only takes a second, easy to do, and it's a great way to let them know that we all appreciate what they're doing for us. So please go give them some online love. If by chance you have found the perfect domain name to buy, why not use TSO Host, because they do give you good pricing and they make it easy to buy those domain names. Get that domain name in your cart, add the discount code BTN 20, so you get 20% off your order. So they're taking something that's already a good deal and making it even better just because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you again, TSO Host. All right. So this is where I would usually say, "Hey, Patrice, can you help me out and tell people about the live chat?" Here's where it gets kind of
Patrice?
crazy,
Patrice?
because Patrice isn't here and it's a whole new thing. So let's see what happens. All right. When you go to watch the live stream at live.britishtechnetwork.com, looks a little bit different than it used to. You have the window that shows you the live stream, but then there's a panel running down the side. That's the live chat now. You don't need to use a separate IRC client or anything else. It's just one link to go to. and it's all right there. So you can participate in the live chat exactly like you always have, but it's all in one place now. When you join the live stream, you get a randomly generated name. You can change that to your own name. Look for the purple button at the top right of the screen. Click on that, and you can rename yourself. So we know who you really are. If you have a Mastodon account, you can use that to authenticate. And then it will do, like, if you look at my name and Ben's name right now in the, that would be Darth Ben Raythig in the live chat, you'll see there's a little authentication symbol next to our names. And that's because we did exactly that. So participate with us just like you always have. This is where we put the links for all of the articles and cool things we talk about. Let's say, though, that you are watching or listening to the show later on and you want to see all those links. Well, you can do that because we have that too. So you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you can see the transcript for every show going back to, I think, 2015. There's a really great looking calendar there. Click on the date for the show. And today's would be June 27th. 27th. Awesome. Thank you, because I almost screwed it up. June 27th, 2024. Click on the date, and then you'll be able to get to the transcript for the chat. And that's it. So it's actually easier than it was before. And you can even authenticate so that we all know that each of us is really who we say we are. So that's kind of cool. And shout out to Patrice. Thank you, Patrice, for doing all of the hard work to bring all of this new tech together for us. So we have a more modern live stream and live chat. So thank you for that. All right. So with that, it is time to do cool things. And Ben, you have the first cool thing.
Cool. Yes, funny you should talk about people being who they say they are. Are they really?
I expected this to be your pick. And if it hadn't been, I would have been disappointed.
So the temporary name may give a little clue as to what my pick is. And that is the new Star Wars High Republic series called The Acolyte.
Mm-hmm.
It is about a pair of sisters, a Jedi with a checkered past, and a mysterious Darksider who are basically having a I Know What You Did Last Summer experience from a Jedi incident that happened a decade and a half prior. The first four episodes are set up, but we start to get answers on episode 5. And this was one of the most hardcore Star Wars episodes I have ever seen.
I would agree with that. Yes. Yeah.
I'm sounding very, very vague, so much that happens in episode 5 that literally I say anything, there will be a spoiler.
I agree. Yeah. It's, you can feel how high the stakes are in this episode.
Yes. And they might even have stakes in this episode, but that'd be a spoiler.
Right. So can't say for sure. I'm with you. The Acolyte is fantastic, and I am already champing at the bit for episode 6.
Yes, and if you're scared away by the IMDb rating, well, the beginning of this, the Sith code is pieces of lie. Well, the IMDb rating is a lie.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that there are so many people out there that are so fragile that anything that falls outside of what they believe Star Wars should be.
Oh God, that's not my Star Wars. You
Yeah,
ruined my
it's not,
childhood.
yeah,
that's not canon, even though
they're
I
in the,
don't own
it's not
it.
my Star Wars mode, and so they review bomb the show.
And I will say this about people saying, like, well, they don't know anything about the Star Wars. Well, let me put it this way. Two deep cuts from Legends play a very big part in the action in this episode.
It's awesome. All right. Ben, since I know you have to leave before anyone else, tell us where people can find you in case you have to drop off before we get to that part of the show.
On social media, I know there's about 3 trillion these days. You can find me at Ben Rathick. You can find my writing at rathicktech.com or rathick.tech or rathicktech.blog, whatever one you prefer, because they all go to the same place. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices Live with Mr. Chuck Joyner. He is a friend of the Mac Show. On Thursday nights, you can find me on this little show called In Touch with iOS with some Dave Ginsburg guy. I don't know where that guy's at. Never heard of him. On Fridays, you can find me here on the Mac Show again, starting tomorrow. And of course, every Thursday, you can find me here on the Big Show.
Awesome. Ben, it is so great to see you back again.
Great to be back.
Awesome.
With
All
that,
right.
I think Ian's got something to tell us about.
Yeah. I've got I was a Markdown editor. Now I've gone back to Windows. I need to find something to replace Ulysses, because that isn't on Windows, and that's the one I liked before. And this is Markdown.cc, and it's an open source. It's on GitHub, and it's really good. It seems to have the best combination of features and bits and pieces, and it does a really great job of being a nice little clean Markdown editor. So I'm now years of being increasingly frustrated with Word trying to create documentation for my lab guides and stuff I create for work. I've given up now, and I'm going over to Markdown. It's just simpler, and this one's really been it's a really good little editor, available on Mac and on Linux. So you've got anywhere you'd like to run this little tool, you can. There's all the
I've never
usual
even
things you'd
heard
like
of
it to
Mark
do.
Text before.
Yeah, it's just yet another.
Wow. All right, that's
I
cool.
had a, yeah, I had a good dig about looking for one. There's a few others, but this one jumped out at me as being the least sort of tied up in things and open source. And it's on GitHub and everything else. So, it's reasonably good. So I think that'll be the kind of stuff I do when I'm creating code blocks and I've got text and everything else. It'll be great. And I output it to PDF. So it's
That's awesome.
fantastic.
And I mean, I'm assuming the price is
Zello.
$3.99.
Zello. $3.99 indeed, yes. Zello.
That's awesome. But
Nil. You can sponsor.
you can sponsor them, which
You
if
can
it
sponsor them if you want.
people if you're using open source free software and you find it really useful, go and sponsor the app.
I am doing more and more of that as I go along now, or paying for a couple of other little free apps I use. There's one actually I'll mention as a cool pick another time. It's he just to turn off the nag screens is all it does. It takes $10 to turn off the nag screens and supports him a little bit, and kind of gets to know people use his app. And that seems like a great that was so yeah. Give him 15 quid, everything's good.
That's money well spent.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right.
So yeah.
Then Dave, it's your turn.
Yeah, I just put a link in the chat. This is a really great show. It's American based show, but I checked it and you can't see it in the UK. It's called The Bear. It's an American comedy and drama television series. It stars Jeremy Allen White, who stars an award-winning chef that returns to his hometown of Chicago. So it's based in Chicago, my hometown. The manage a chaotic kitchen and at his deceased brother's sandwich shop. And it all evolves around Italian beef and all the foods that you see in Chicago, and just a lot of great acting. It was really well written, and it's gotten a number of awards, including Emmy Awards for Outstanding Comedy Series. And it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. And if you have Hulu, you can watch it. The third season just dropped today as we're recording this. So take a look at this show. I think it's a lot of fun, and it's
Disney
got its
Plus over
ups.
here. Disney Plus in the UK, if you need to watch it. Just had a quick look. Yeah, Disney Plus.
Hulu and Disney Plus are all packaged together now, so you can definitely check that out. And like I said, it's a lot of good foods and a lot of good drama, a lot of good watching. It's a good show.
Awesome. I've heard from other people I need to watch his show. So clearly I need to bump it up higher on my to-do list.
Might be doing a
Awesome.
retro rewatch for this one.
It could happen. We have to wait a few years, so it's retro. All right, then my turn. And I actually did my pick specifically for Ben, since it's the first time he's been back for a while, and he clearly takes a great joy in me talking about Lego. So this is a kit that's been out for a few months, and I finally got a hold of it, and it's the Mars rover. It's Perseverance, and it even has the little opportunity helicopter with it, and it is a really cool build. If I had been thinking, I would have brought it in from the other room so I could hold it up and show it to you. It is one of the most technical Lego builds I have ever done. It's just crazy. It has on the back of the power plant on the back, it has little knobs that you use to move the instrument arm out and around, and it has independent suspension. It has a control for the wheels, so you can, as you're pushing it along, if you want, you can turn another knob and set the wheels so you can go left or right, or have them all switch to the angle so it just pivots on its center. I am waiting for someone to do a mod on this kit where they put a one of the Mindstorm motors in it so they can remote control it and just drive it around. It has like 1,100 pieces in it, and for a lot of builds, you can sit down and do 1,100 pieces in an evening. It might be a long evening, but you can put a kit together and then call it a night and be like, wow, that was a lot of fun. With this one, I did it over 3 nights because you're putting together so many little pieces and pins, and you have to get all of this stuff just right, or you end up like I had to do more than once, disassembling part so you can put it together the right way. Because there was one piece that was hard to see in the instructions, and then you don't have it in there. So I did a section each night over 3 nights, and when I was done, I'm like, holy crap, this is kind of crazy. And it's really, really cool. So $99, the NASA Mars Perseverance rover with Opportunity helicopter, and it was a really fun build.
I've got a droidie car to build.
Oh, fun.
You know, the folding up robot from Phantom Menace that spins anything.
Hold on.
Oh.
I've got a little R2D2, so
Hey.
a
R2D2 mug.
Yeah, see, kindred spirits.
But yeah,
All
no, I've
right.
got that. I'm looking forward to building that.
So with that, I guess it's safe to say we're done for the day.
We are.
And we did our timing just right, letting Ben go first since he had to leave first. This has been so much fun. So thank you for being here. You've made my Thursday just so much brighter, and this is just so much fun. So with that, Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. We are recording a show tonight as we record this. And my YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I am on the Mac Show on Fridays usually, depending on my schedule. And you also can find me at Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with Chuck Joyner and our great crew over there. And I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 and Mastodon.cloud. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. And thanks for jumping in and joining us today.
Yeah, I
That's a
loved it.
fun surprise.
Thanks, Dave. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here, except for next week on a Thursday. I have something else to do next week, but here on a Thursday for the big show, usually. I'm sometimes in the Slack room, and that's the usual basis. Or look for me on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. I work for
Awesome.
Veeam, as I've said many times before.
Awesome. Veeam's a cool company.
Hopefully, got you some more work again.
Yeah, I enjoy doing stuff with them. So hopefully they'll throw something my way soon. Yeah. All right. Then for me, Jay Gamut on social media. I am active on Mastodon and Instagram and some on Threads right now. And then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. And Dave, I'm very much looking forward to tonight's show. And then here on Thursdays for the big show, back again here on Fridays for the Mac show. Then Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and Patrice Brind'Amour, who is traveling today, so she can't be with us. Patrice and I, we do Retro Rewatch, where we watch shows that I should have probably seen but have not, but Patrice has. And so we watch them and then discuss them from the perspective of someone who's seen them more than once and someone who's exposed for the first time. And we're having a lot of fun with that. Okay, so thanks again for being here with me today. All of you that are watching or listening live, thank you for being here and being part of the show. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of this as well. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for being here to support us. Go give them some online love, people. And speaking of some online love, if you have not been checking out the Daily News Show, you really should. 5 minutes of the tech news that you need to know about waiting for you when you get up in the morning. Kyle does an amazing job with that show. It does take a little bit more to make that show happen. So if you are enjoying the show, please go to the British Tech Network website. There's a link there where you can donate some money so that we can keep the show going. Also, people that that do donate money get some extra perks, you know, like extra episodes. So everyone, please go check that out. All right. So with that, hey, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac show. And then join us again next Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.